Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Charles Schonk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Jerome Zeiler, also friars at St. Patrick's. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is our second show on the Ten Commandments. In our first show, we talked about the first table, which has to do with love of God, the first three commandments. And now we're going to tackle the second table of commandments, which have to do with love of neighbor. So we noted how these two tables fit under the two great commandments that Christ gave us, to love God above all things and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The first three commandments, love God above all things, and the next seven, love your neighbor as yourself. We were just talking before the show about that way of phrasing it, love your neighbor as yourself, is perhaps something that we don't think about, or we just pass over without, you know, what does that mean, to love my neighbor as myself? Well, that implies that I love myself, right? And in a way, that love of neighbor depends on a proper love of self. So perhaps we could start with that, just talking about what it means to love oneself rightly. Father Stephen Dominic?
Well, there was, I think this sort of goes back to our discussion in the other show on the first commandment, but there's a way to look at myself, and I can either be my own God, I can shape my world, I can be the one who is the actor, the one who is in control, which is a kind of an idolization of myself. And then I can find myself, when my willpower fails, when my energy fails, that I foul up, that I disappoint myself, that I find this idol of myself and my self-esteem shattered on the ground, and finding that I know this, and maybe lots of other people in my world know this. And so it becomes hard to love yourself, to love yourself. Especially when there's something in your life where you find yourself powerless about, in relationships, in regard to alcohol or drugs or weight control or a thousand other things that we find ourselves powerless before. And then to love ourselves in the midst of it. And then I think to love yourself means to invoke the virtue humility, where we love ourselves and see ourselves first so we can love ourselves as God loves us, with all our strengths and all our weaknesses, just as we are. And it's this way we have to love the neighbor as well, with all their strengths, all their weaknesses. And that is something that seems not to come easily to us in our gracelessness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, just thinking about this right now, to love, to really love someone means to desire what's truly good for them. So that applies to ourselves. To really love ourselves means to desire for ourselves what's truly good for ourselves. Now, what is truly good for ourselves? That depends on the reality in which we live. That depends on the fullness of reality. If you're talking about eating, what is really good for you? Well, that depends on your own body and on the nature of this particular food, objectively, what is really good and what is harmful. That depends on just the reality of your body and of the food. And that goes with regard to everything. Now, when we get to these three commandments that we're doing, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth, the first of all commandments regarding your neighbor is honor your father and mother. Now, isn't that interesting? I would think, the first thing you'd think of might be, for example, do not kill. But no, the first is honor your father and mother. And why is that? You know, the first might be don't kill yourself.
Yeah, like, right, right.
You know, but the first is honor your father and mother. And I, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. And so I'll just say what I was thinking. But when I was when I was little, I sometimes would become very angry with my parents because, yes, I was the center of my own universe, as every child is. We all are born that way. We are the center of the universe by default. And if other people don't serve us, we throw a fit. You know, it's funny to see little children. I mean, if they are not served, they throw a fit. That's what they do because they're the center of their universe. Now, when I got angry because other people were not serving me and understanding that I am God, I, you know, sometimes thought, well, I'm just going to run away from home. And I dreamt of summer days and the beautiful sun where I could just be free and do my will and not have to do chores or have to clean my room or put away the knives and forks, you know. And then eventually I thought, well, no, I never thought about it. I did it because I feared spankings and I don't know. But, you know, I never even thought, if I ran away, I wouldn't even have a room. Like, that was provided for me by my parents. There wouldn't even be knives and forks because there wouldn't even be a dinner the night before prepared by my mother. Like, all these things have been provided for me. And the reality is that I should be grateful and I should honor others from whom I have received so much. And
well, right, that first relationship of our lives to our parents establishes us in dependence, mm-hmm. total dependence, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, it shatters the illusion right away that we are autonomous, that we are self-sufficient, that we are our own God, etc. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think loving our neighbor as ourself, what you were saying there, Father Stephen Dominic, really highlights that a deep fear that we have that we are unlovable, right? And so that's what drives us to create this false image of ourself, right? As self-sufficient, as autonomous, as wildly talented, or whatever it is, you know. And this is really a miserable way of living because we pride ourselves on all sorts of silly things, right? And we get down on ourselves for all sorts of silly things. And so growing into a proper love of self is learning to see ourselves as we are. And how are we? We are totally dependent on our parents, right? When we're young, but most of all, totally dependent on God, who sustains us in being and gives us everything we have from moment to moment. And that's hard for us to realize. You know, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I know that, right? But it's hard for us to realize it in our lives day to day, you know. And if we did totally realize it, we would be a saint, right? Very good. Now, I know we've already talked about So I should back up and say, we may not get through the whole second table during this show. We may just have to do the fourth, fifth, and sixth, which are really big commandments, by the way. So that'll give us enough to chew on. But I know we've talked about the fourth commandment a bit already, honor your father and your mother. But let's dive into it a little more. And, you know, Father Stephen Dominic, you were saying something about how the order of the fourth, fifth, and sixth commandments. Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like the lawyer's question to Jesus, you know, when he is given the second of the commandments. Well, who is my neighbor? Well, who are the people you meet first in your life? Well, the first people you meet in your life are your parents. And that's a crucial relationship for a number of reasons. It's because they're not perfect people either. Notice that the commandment does not tell us to respect them if they've done well. Because frequently our parents foul up in great ways, sometimes small ways. But we by 16, we usually see them as very imperfect people. And then by 35, we're amazed how well they've done under the circumstances. But it is also the commandment that teaches us, first of all, our radical dependence. They are the people who teach us what it is to be a member of the human race, for better and for worse. We are completely dependent on them. Your parents are never your peers completely, even if you get a different relationship with them in adulthood than you have when you're kids. And the final thing I think that's big is it teaches us how to deal with authority.
Hmm.
You know, and this becomes frequently patterns for good and for bad in our lives as we continue to grow. But, you know, it's a relationship with our parents in terms of authority that also shape us for our relationships with a larger community in terms of the state and with Holy Mother Church.
Right.
You know, and her authority in our life.
Yeah.
So it's a very complex and rich kind of commandment. There's an awful lot in there.
Right, right. Yeah. In terms of the order of fourth, fifth, and sixth commandments.
Oh, right. Yeah, so that they're the first ones, apparently. So who are the next ones? Okay, it's your brothers and sisters, you're normally.
Who you want peers. To kill.
Right? Yeah. Thou shalt not. Well, remember, this is all based in the Bible. So Cain and Abel, that's the first family story. That's the first sibling story we got in the Bible. And then the third one would be, well, who's the, as you become the next generation, who's the next important person? And that will be your spouse. And the beginning of your own participation in family life on a new level.
Mm, right.
And so there's a pattern and a richness to those three, I think, that put them together.
Yes, right. So parents are the first ones we meet. Honor your father and mother. Our siblings are the next ones we interact with, mm-hmm. who we want to kill, like Cain killed Abel, right? Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not kill. And then
at some point, I think everyone was to kill.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
One of their brothers or sisters.
Great. Great. And then the third in order of time, most significant people in our lives are our spouses. Don't commit adultery, right, is the sixth commandment. Right. So let's take a little break here. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Charles Schonk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Jerome Zeiler, also friars at St. Patrick's. And we've been discussing the fourth, fifth, and sixth commandments, which fall under the great commandment that Jesus gave us, love your neighbor as yourself, right? And we talked a little bit about what that means, loving proper love of self, how that's the foundation for love of neighbor. And we dived a little bit into the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, the most important people in our lives when we are born and young, right? And Father Stephen Dominic, you were talking about how that extends to all authority, really, all
right.
Rightly instituted authority in our lives. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Well, it's in our family that we learn about how to obey rules. We don't necessarily we understand the difference, I think, between conformity and obedience. Okay, conformity is to bend before the rod of power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and power can be experienced either as authentic authority or as, you know, raw power wielded apart from authority. And families are places where this both things are done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with small children, you really can't argue with them. You know, it's you know, you don't have long conversations about meaning with a 2-year-old.
Right.
You know, 2-year-olds want what 2-year-olds want. So there's a certain training rather than. But as people get older, you know, authority can be experienced differently, and you can hear from the heart, which is the fundamental meaning of obedience. You know, and I know in confession, as people come into their teenage years and they start rubbing the velvet off their antlers against their parents, this becomes an experience where, you know, they may not agree with the parents at all. They may think the parents are being tough, but they can appreciate what the parents are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And still respect their authority and really hear from the heart, even if they disagree with the judgment that they're making in a particular matter. And as I said, this extends to all levels of authority eventually. I mean, you have an oppositional relationship with your parents, it probably you're going to have difficulty with policemen and the like.
Right.
Or priests, et cetera.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like what you said there about power and authority, right, and how we learn to negotiate these things. That's why the family is so important, really. It's the first place in which we learn how to be human, and a big part of being human is wielding and obeying authority with love, right? Instead of just, this is the way it is. You know, obviously we have to do that when with two-year-olds, right? But there's a way in which this commandment is just perhaps more demanding upon parents as it is upon children, right? Because to really wield your authority, not just as power, but as love, that is a great responsibility, right?
The other thing, this is a commandment which has a blessing attached to it, that you may have a long life. And one thing traditionally in families is if you teach your children good family values, then when you're old and weak and decrepit,
right,
you will have a social network that will actually support you.
Yes.
And so there is a sentence in which it encourages the building of strong families. And a strong family, I think, survives well. It's so good social capital is a good thing to have, even in our current society where there are so many larger safety nets.
Mm-hmm. Right. And on the contrary, being a bad parent is its own worst penalty, right? Mm-hmm. Because the child doesn't honor you when you get old, right?
Cats in the cradle with a silver spoon and all that business.
yes, right. Very good. So the next commandment is thou shalt not kill, which sounds very clear-cut and simple. But like most of the commandments, once you dive into it, it's quite rich, right? We talked about this commandment in terms of sibling rivalry. Cain and Abel, that's the first time we see murder in the Bible. And so we might say that the people that we tend to want to kill, the people towards whom we experience great anger, are often not so much authority figures, although that does happen, but our peers, right? Those with whom we are, in a sense, on a level. Competition, those with whom we are competitors. So I think this commandment speaks especially to that part of us that wants to excel, in perhaps a bad way, right?
Impose our will on others. I mean, this is what, I mean, Adam invents pride, but Cain invents jealousy and wrath and finally murder. You know, these are the beginnings of sins in the scriptures. I think you're right. I think it extends to all peers. I mean, all of us are kin to one another, according to the scriptures, through Adam and through Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, who's not a brother and sister? And remember, if a member of the human race, and so we need to treat them with dignity and love. Who is not a child of God?
Right.
You know, and that implies, as I said, a respect for the person, especially. And this can be on several levels. So there's the bodily life of the person, which we respect by murder. But you know, you can destroy by detraction a person's reputation. You can absolutely ruin their life by ruining their reputation with lies or with truths. And this is also a sin that cannot be undone.
Hmm. Can't be repaired.
Can't be repaired. You can't destroy it. Once it's out there, you might as well scatter a feather pillow to the four winds and then try to collect all the feathers back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Father Jerome, any thoughts?
It does strike me when going through the Ten Commandments, especially these three, just a contrast, just to highlight as an observation. I mean, the first three are really revealing a lot that goes unsaid about a personal relationship with God and like that he wants this personal relationship. And, you know, this is, yes, it's implicit there. This is the purpose of our life. When you get to these, like you're really, God is meeting them where they're at, and he's giving them just the first, like, conclusions you get to. I mean, you know, but do not honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. And, you know, as you progress into spiritual life, we fill these out more and more. But this is just the beginning of, you know, and it's the most basic.
Right.
It's just an interesting observation, you know.
Yes. And when we get to the New Testament, Christ radicalizes, right? He gets to the root. That's what radical means, right? He gets to the root of what has been given in very rudimentary form. Thou shalt not kill, right? That's pretty rudimentary, right? But Christ says, you shall not say, call your brother a fool.
Right.
Cain was
angry on the way to killing his brother. And so anger, you know, sins against anger will be also included in this. I mean, all these commandments are summaries of other things. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're not just the only sins there are. It's that they're summaries of a whole bunch of things. And as I said, the stories of the Bible show us, I think, what's hidden in each commandment. In this one, thou shalt not kill, we talk about reverence for our own bodies, you know, and not treating it badly, you know. I mean, you can look at, there are many ways to do so. I mean, self-mutilations, I mean, abortion is, you know, included here. You could also look at, questions of medical ethics might be involved here. As I said, there's an awful lot here to talk about in just a couple of minutes.
Yes.
But I do think it comes down to the respect for one's own person and the other person. So anger is here, probably sloth as well, where we don't love people well enough to serve them properly. We just can hurt their lives by not acting as well.
Yes. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, again, subsuming a whole dimension of human life under one simple commandment. And all of these commandments, you know, all of the negative prohibitions, we should always remember behind the no stands a greater yes, right? So it's often thought, particularly among secularists, that Christians have a negative view of sexuality or of the body. And of course, anyone who has any understanding of the faith realizes how shallow and untrue that is. But the greater yes that stands behind thou shalt not commit adultery is that our sexuality is very good, right? And when anything is very good and very significant, very powerful, the misuse of it is all the more egregious, right, and destructive. And I think we see that in our society, of course, since the sexual revolution, so much destruction has come about through the misuse of this great gift God has given us, human sexuality. Father Stephen Dominic, you have something to say about that?
Yeah, well, I was thinking of going to our original thing about, you know, the parents being the first we meet, then we meet our peers in life. Yeah. Now we take one peer, and they become more than a peer when we give our life to them. You know, this is what marriage is about. This is what the Sixth Commandment is about. And it's not just a question of not touching. I mean, sometimes I think we talk about chastity, but it's all just not touching. You know? But what it is about, it's a right touching. Yes. It's the right embrace of another person, not just physically and sexually, but also emotionally and personally. That there has to be a priority to this relationship that is above our peers. As we, if you want, take the place of our parents whom we met in the Fourth Commandment and now enter into a relationship of love that will shape other people as they see our love. I mean, one sense, I think because children are dependent, they don't learn love by the way their parents love them, first of all. They learn what adult love is by seeing their parents love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, you know, this commitment of married love for me as a celibate man, as a celibate religious, when I see Catholics living their marriage, it's strong power to assist my own celibacy and my own commitment, my marriage bond, if you want, with him who is spouse of my soul, Jesus Christ, you know, in my own religious life.
Yes, yes. And yeah, there are so many, you know, the relationship between husband and wife is so comprehensive. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how it's the most comprehensive form of human friendship.
Fundamental cell of society.
Right. And husband and wife share everything from day to day. You know, the reason it's such a, it can be such an example of love to people is precisely that, right? That you have so many opportunities to put the other first, mm-hmm. right? To put their good above yours. And that, I think, suggests to me that this commandment is not just about adultery, but about all the ways in which we can be unfaithful. Husband and wife can be unfaithful to each other in all of those little details of life that they share.
Adultery can be have many forms. It doesn't have to be just, you know, the other man or other woman. It can be the bottle, okay? Mm-hmm. It can be the job. It can be the Thursday night football game, you know. But something that detracts from this relationship that you do put first, and only be, saving only a relationship with God through the first commandment.
Right. Very good. Well, thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Charles Schonk, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I have been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes and Father Jerome Zeiler, also friars at St. Patrick's. Let's now end with our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.